Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. And boy, don't we need a vision. Oh my God, so much going on. We're not going to get into that, but we want to welcome you this morning to the Global Vision for Living Today. I'm Marcia. They call me Dr. Cappuccino. And hopefully this morning we're going to have the illustrious Dr. William, what I call him, Colonel William Harrison with us this morning. We have a very good topic, one that is timely, and it is my living in vain? Is my life worth living? Well, some might look out and say, you know, I don't think it is, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. Well, you don't have to keep on keeping on, because we're here to let you know that a change is going to come. Might not be the one that you expect, might not be the change that you're looking for, it might not be the change that you've been praying for, but a change is going to come. And it's not going to come by human hands. We can forget that. We can look at the TV and say, oh yeah, I'm going to forget that. We can listen to the radio, we can listen to the neighbor next door and say, oh my God, is it really true? Is a change going to come? Oh, yes, it is. And it's not going to be by human hands. Is my life worth anything? Is it worth living? Is my living in vain? Well, James said, you're in the world, but you're no part of the world. So what is the person supposed to do? You're waking up every morning, you're hearing evil, bad reports. You're going to bed at night, you're hearing an evil, a bad report. You're looking around, and everywhere you look, it seems to be chaos. Something is wrong. So that's why people are asking, is my living in vain? What am I living for? I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm going around trying to be Miss Big, Mr. Big. What's going on? Is my living in vain? What am I doing? I'm looking out, and I don't know what to do. Colonel Harrison, I know that you are with us. Would you like to say a word of introduction?
Yes. Good morning to you, Dr. Cappuccino, and listening audience. Certainly a pleasure to come to you from the nation's capital with so much going on in the capital. Is my living in vain? By no means are our living in vain. Our living is not in vain when we find purpose. And once we find purpose, then we find that which we want to identify with, that which we want to do, and that makes life more meaningful. So as we look upon, vain means nothing, emptiness, no value, no substance. So we are people of substance, people of value. And so we are made for a purpose. And as we seek our purpose, we'll find that our living will not be in vain and we'll be able to live a fulfilled life. So with that, certainly want to welcome the listening audience on behalf of Dr. Cappuccino.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you very much, Colonel. And, you know, I want to say what you said is just right on target, but you got a lot of people in college pursuing high-profile degrees. They don't feel that, you know, they're getting anything out of life. They feel that their living really is in vain. You have a lot of people that are going about heralding a banner saying, you know, I'm a doctor, I can save lives, I'm a this, I'm a that. And they're living lives that look like they're in vain. You have young students, you have mothers, you have grandmas all saying, you know, I'm trying to do my best, I'm trying to live my best, but you know what, I don't think this life is worth living. I'm trying to be a good person, that ain't working. I'm trying to be a good father, I don't even know if that's working. I'm trying to be a good wife, I don't want to be a good wife anymore. People are feeling that whatever they're doing, they're not getting anywhere in that life. We open the show up by saying a change is going to come. It really is. A change really is going to come. But Colonel Harrison, from your vantage point, is a change really necessary, not only in America, but in the entire world? We know there's a force to be reckoned with that says, now, I've sent my son. Now act up and see what I do. Is a change on the vantage point as far as you can see, as far as you know it?
Yes, yes, absolutely, Dr. Capitina. A change is important. The word change means doing something different or moving towards something that you haven't done before. So a change is necessary because there's a saying that nothing is constant but change. And as change comes, we have to adapt. We have to adapt to change. Change is good if it's for the better. And I found in most instances, change is for the better. Because otherwise, if we remain the same, continue to do the same, live our lives from the womb to the tomb, doing the same complacent things, we'll become bored, and we're made to be creative beings. So change helps us to grow, helps us to mature, helps us develop, helps us reach our maximum potential, whether it be a skill that we learn or our intellectual ability, whatever it may be. Change helps to push us forward, and it helps to encourage us, and it helps to challenge us so that we can be the best that we ought to be.
Colonel Harrison, is all change good? People are hurling around all in the cities and all the states, all across America. I mean, how could we answer that? Sure, the songster said a change is going to come. They sung that. We know people laying in the dust from ancient of times look forward to a change. You have people walking about the streets now, mad at themselves and mad at each other because they're crying out for a change. Don't even know what kind of change they want. Don't even know if they would even be involved in a change, would they be wanted in a change. What kind of change should we be looking forward to if we are talking about not living a life that is in vain and wondering when we wake up or when we go to bed at night whether or not the life is worth living? Is it worth living? Well, how would I know? How could I tell? What kind of change should anyone in and out of their right mind expect in a time such as this?
We should seek change for the betterment of humanity. Where we are, it's obviously not in the best interest of humanity. Let me give you an example. I remember before we entered into this technological society, we used to have to use our minds to reason and think and compute numbers and do math and all those kinds of things that some of us were taught during grade and middle school. Now we have the calculators, and we have all these other things, and we have the social media, and we have Twitter, and we have email, and we have the internet. And so that's change. That all that has come about is change for the betterment. Now, if we don't change, we don't adapt, we don't adjust, then we can't perfect ourselves. The other part of change is social change. The change that we need most as human beings is social change. Wherein I can look at you and you're my neighbor, and I can say sincerely and earnestly that I'm your brother's keeper. If you need something, if you need me to go to the store, you need some food, or you need me to get some milk, you need me to get some staple goods, you need a few dollars. That kind of social change in caring and loving for people in the community is what we've lost. So the urgency seems to be for social change. We have technological change. That's good. We need social change so we become more people-oriented, and that's what seems to be on the horizon now. It's good because it will better society, and it will make us more compassionate, caring, and loving for one another and toward each other.
Well, when we talk about a change, there's got to be a change maker. There's got to be a change gamer. There's got to be someone in control of a change, someone that can put that change on the table and then see it through. There's got to be a change giver. There's got to be a reason for a change. That means that something that was once was is not working. It's not working right. If It is a cry out for a change. Everyone's crying out, I want a change. Yes, a change is going to come so that our life might not be one that is living in vain. But who's going to be the changer? Who's going to be the manager of a change? Who should we look to as human beings to make that change? And then once the change is made and our life really is worth living, are we going to follow the change giver? Are we going to follow the one that we're looking to help make us change our ways, our will, our walk? Who should we look to for the change?
Excellent, Dr. Capitino. We should look to the ultimate supreme being for the change. I call him Jehovah. Some call him God. Some call him Allah. We have to look for the one that, from the beginning, created everything, made us so that we would be very, very unique, so we'd be able to adapt and adopt the change. The challenge we have with as human beings is that we are limited when it comes to change. We can lead people to a certain extent, but then after that, we may not have the skills and may not have the prerequisites to lead them beyond a certain point. But when we go to the ultimate change agent, the ultimate artist of the universe, the ultimate person of the universe, then we tap into that person, and then inspiration is given to us with regards to certain aspects of us we need to change first. Then we can go out and help to encourage others to change, to be the best they can be and be better than they are. And thus the world will become better. Right now the world is stagnant because a lot of people haven't moved in the direction of seeking the ultimate being for change. And we have to seek the ultimate being for change, and then we can be redirected in the way that we ought to go.
You know, that sounds wonderful. You made a very good point, because I'm thinking of a prophet that once said, turn around, turn from your wicked ways. So he didn't say this prophet. I won't really go into that because we'll be a long time on scripture. But he said, turn from your wicked ways. There was another sage that said, come, follow me, turn around. Whatever you're doing, drop your nets. Whatever you're doing, follow me. So obviously that meant a change, but a lifelong change. He didn't say, follow me to the grocer, follow me to the pig pen, follow me to the valley of Hinnom. He just said, follow me. And now here we are, the 2,000+, you know, years away. And here we are now, and all we're hearing is change. We got to change. You know, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing that. Well, then the author that we're talking about for change, why is he begging? Why has he been begging? Why has he been begging? Repent. Why has he been begging? Stop your evil ways. Stop your wicked ways. Why has he been begging for centuries for humankind to turn around so that life wouldn't be in vain, so that life would be worth living? Why has he been begging humankind to change before he erected change? Colonel Harrison, can you answer that? Why has he been begging us to turn around and change our ways?
Certainly, Doc. He's been asking us to change our ways because he wishes that none should perish. And once it's so simple that a fifth grader can understand it, and sometimes we as adults miss it. I remember doing things earlier years my way. Frank Sinatra, late great Frank Sinatra, had a song, I Did It My Way. The problem with doing it my way or your way, if it's not Jehovah's way, then we're going to end up spending a lot of years, wasting a lot of time, unproductive time where we could have made progress, we could have become more successful, could have impacted people and lives and society more. So we are reluctant to change because we're contrary. We're stubborn, most of us, or we're set in our ways. That's a better way to say it. We have to be open to change. The minute I became open to change, I started doing better in life. The minute I opened and I sought out Jehovah, I started doing better in life.
Wow, I felt the same way too. But, you know, in listening to what you're saying, it seems like there's an enemy to change. If there's an enemy, there's an apostle that said, the good that I want to do, I don't do. But that which I don't want to do, I do. There seems to be an enemy. Is it flesh and blood? Is it just the flesh? Is it like another apostle said, out of the heart come wicked reasons? What is this? What is the impediment to change? And I'm asking that because, you know what? I think I need to think about a change. I laid down last night or yesterday on my sofa. You know, it was the afternoon. I just got groceries and laid down. And I said, oh, you know what? This doctor gave me prescription. Small pill, 5 milligrams. That's really nothing. I took it and I slept all the rest of the afternoon, all the night, all through the night. And when I got up, I was thinking it was still the other day. You know, I need a change. I'm changing that medication. I'm not taking it anymore. But that's a self-will change. What is it that's stopping humankind at your vantage point from really making a change, really saying, I'm going to do it. Oh, I'm going to cry out. I'm going to do it. I need help. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves in the pen that they wanted to crawl up out of. What is causing that? Who is causing it? What force? What enemy of humankind? I know we're going somewhere with this.
Yes, the enemy of humankind is the one that does not want me to prosper, want you to prosper, want others to prosper, because he's the enemy of Jehovah. It has so many different names, Lucifer, so forth, so on. So there is an enemy. There's an evil spirit that exists. There's a holy spirit, a righteous spirit, and there's an evil spirit. And existed from time immemorial. So the enemy can deceive, the enemy can mislead, the enemy can trick and make you believe that he's advocating in our betterment, and come to find out he's not.
Well, he surely is not, but there's a lot of people that do not recognize this supernatural being. They will sit up in church their entire life. They will talk about God most of their life. They will talk about being called by God. You never hear them saying, taken by God, just to know he's in a better place. But what makes a person say something like that if they're talking in reference to really making a change?
I'm sorry, repeat that, Doc. I missed that.
Okay, I'm going to rephrase this. Why don't many people believe in another force? You don't hear a lot about Satan and demon and devil. There's this force. Some call him, just like you said, Lucifer. Many people don't believe in him anymore. Is that a problem?
Well, Doc, it requires, for lack of a better term, a different type of education. Not a classroom education, not a schoolroom education, not a college room education, but life education. And after you go through so many trials and tribulations, translated to mean hardships, you'll be able to come to understand. It'll lead you to a certain particular book, and there are several of them that one can seek for themselves. There are certain elements that are good on the earth, and there are certain elements that are evil. I sought to find out for my own by seeking to read the source based on my personal life experiences when I was having my hardships. I was wondering why I was having hard times. Some people call it bad luck. Why I can't do this? Why I can't do that? Why I run into a stumbling block? Why is there a hindrance? And then I started seeking knowledge, and I found out the reason why. So you have to seek the book. Some call it the Quran. Some call it the Bible. Some call it the Torah. You have to seek books of wisdom, knowledge, spiritual wisdom, knowledge, to be able to understand what is really going on in the earthly realm today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have many people that have not been told that. They have not been schooled that they've got to step out of self and look for a higher being, and then study that higher being and find out, well, where do I fit in the spectrum of things? You know, with many of the places of worship, places of spiritual education being shut down, dishonored, and closed, what other option would that lead a person to wanting to find this particular being, this particular person? What options do they have?
The option they have is continue living the life the way they are, continue down the same path, and not realizing any meaningfulness or accomplishing any meaningful things in life. So the option is continue to do what I was doing and continue to be frustrated, continue not to achieve the goals and objectives and certain things that I want to achieve and accomplish in life, or seek change for the better. I chose to seek change for the better. And when I did, my life improved immensely, immensely over what it used to be. I can't imagine being the age I am now, living the way that I once lived. I'm not sure I would still be here today. I believe I would have perished several years ago. But because I changed, my quality of life improved. Thus, it was less stress on my health. It made me more progressive in terms of goals and pursuits and ideas, income, and all those kinds of things. I became blessed, and I was able to seek and achieve those things. So it just worked out for the good and for the better.
Well, how would you explain your life to the younger generation? It's those that are mostly infused with a lot of misunderstandings about how the world works and how they can achieve in the world. They are following everything but right action. How would you explain that to the younger generation that's restless? Restless as a restless sea. Don't know where to turn.
Educate the millennials, and that's basically what we call them. Respectfully, we call them millennials because they were born in the year 2000 or thereafter. That's going to take a process because they're intelligent. They're whiz kids. They can work these electronic gadgets in a moment's notice and just brilliant when it comes to those kinds of things. But when it comes to wisdom, which is knowledge of life in and of itself, they like that. And one acquires wisdom by seeking a higher source, number one. Number two, through life experiences. So as we get older, we should acquire more knowledge, thus translating it into wisdom, so that we don't make the same mistakes that we did when we were younger. Thus, we will live a better lifestyle now that we're getting older. With the millennials, they're not there yet. They're just kind of freewheeling it and doing this, doing that, doing the other, trying to find their way. And they're going to make a lot of mistakes and run into a lot of stumbling blocks that way. So it's going to take an orientation process for millennials to really use that knowledge, corral that knowledge, that technological knowledge they have, coupled with some life experience from those of us who had life experiences and wisdom, infuse that into them, and then they can move forward and have a tremendous life, even better lifestyle, better than many of us, if not most of us.
Well, you know, I don't see them interested in that. You know, this time of the year, you hear all these stories about who's graduating, comes along, and with three masters, two bachelors, three PhDs, and all of that. These people, these young people that are turning into millennials, that doesn't seem like an area that they're interested in. They're interested in worldly wisdom, but they're not interested in what the sage said, get the knowledge that leads to eternal life. He said in scripture that This means everlasting life. They're getting wisdom of an unseen God, or the knowledge that leads to eternal life is not carnal, but it is spiritual. They're not pursuing that. They're pursuing worldly wisdom, worldly knowledge. Is that going to help them to be someone that don't want to say, oh, I've lived 100 years and, you know, my living has been in vain? How can we turn that around? How can we show, like Paul said, you know, I count it all as nothing for the gain that I have in the one called Jesus Christ, all that wisdom and knowledge. We don't have the time to talk about his background as a Pharisee, person of the law then. We don't have time. Perhaps we'll go through that one day. But where does that leave the graduate of 2020 and any graduate that is seeking to find a real meaning in life? Should he pursue worldly wisdom and hide behind that? It has not worked. I'm pretty sure a lot of people roaming the streets right now in America, they are not idiots. They are not dumb. They have some form of education. How should today's youth, which will turn into tomorrow's millennial, what do they have to look forward to with that type of understanding?
Educationally, they have college degrees. They probably do fairly well job-wise. But they're going to find that there's going to be a void. And education, college education is great, but it only carry you to a certain, or carry forth to a certain extent. You will not find, they will not find true fulfillment, true happiness until they tap into the higher power. It is written. They will find their lives to be limited, it will not be meaningful. And the way that we have to try to change them is find one or two or a handful that we can lead, show, and direct and instruct so they can go and lead the others that are in their age bracket. But it, unless we use that approach, it's going to be a challenge, and they will be limited as to what successes they can achieve. And right now, I believe they're open to change, but we got to get their attention to see if they will listen so they can position themselves for change so they can move forward and be blessed in later years.
Well, the only change that some claim that the younger generation is looking forward to is a change in their financial status and standing. So is this a me generation that's just interested in all they can get for themselves through their own means? You know, there's scripture that says 70 or 80 is all we are guaranteed, and that is on shaky ground right now. So do you think our future leaders is interested in that? The same people that might have to push us around in a wheelchair, are they interested in that? What are they interested in? Whatever they're interested in, they're not shouting for any churches to open up. We got to look at this. We got to look at them. They got a lot of young senators, a lot of young congressmen and women. We got to look at that. What are these people thinking before they go to bed at night? We have 60 seconds to go. Colonel Harrison, thank you so much for tuning in. Colonel Harrison will be on the March Father's Day weekend 2020 in Washington. For more information, visit www.ip4peace.org. You might want to join even from your own residence. March around your living room if you can't join William Colonel Harrison. I love to call him Colonel for the historic march that is entitled "I Have a New Dream." We sure need something new, and Colonel Harrison and his team and you can participate in that. God bless you. Thank you for your time with us this weekend. You can reach Colonel Harrison. Also, his information is on that website, and myself, Marcia, Dr. Capitino as well. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll look to hear from you in spirit next Saturday, 8 a.m.